Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Alec. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am excited to continue. We're back in our series on the Ten Commandments, and I would encourage you, if you missed last week, we had a special time where we highlighted all the different ministry areas and encouraged everybody to get involved somewhere. So if you can, you should check out our YouTube page or go back on Facebook as well and watch last week's and then get in contact with each of those ministry area leaders or just let one of us know and we'll help you get connected where you can. But we are back after our brief hiatus, and today we're taking up the fifth commandment, which you've heard and we have already read from Exodus 20:12 that said, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And as I began to read and to reflect on the fifth commandment this week, what first started coming to my mind was a list of questions, a list of, what ifs, and a list of how to's. These are some of the questions that began coming to my mind after I started to think about, okay, honor your father and your mother. All right. Well, what if my parents are divorced? What if my parents don't get along? What if I don't like one or both of my parents? How do I honor them if they've hurt me? How do I honor them if they don't want to talk to me? What about step-parents? What if my parents are gone? What if they've passed away? What if my parents aren't Christians? What if my parents don't approve of my faith? So, you see, we get the point. There are any number of questions or qualifications that might come into our mind whenever we read this commandment. But the commandment by design from God, this is purposeful, that this commandment is not an exhaustive how-to manual on how to obey this commandment. It's not honor your father and your mother by, and then like we're not supplied with a big paragraph about how to do it. And that is by design. One commentator, Peter Enns, he pointed out that the how-to of this command, okay, how we are to obey it, is a matter of continual reflection as we grow in our faith and as we grow older as well. You see, how we obey this commandment is a matter of continual reflection and growth. It's not going to look the same as when we were younger, like Thomas and Avery earlier, and it's going to look older as we grow older, how we obey this commandment. But the commandment remains the same, that we are to honor our father and our mother. Depending on your age and all your unique circumstances in life, honoring your father and your mother will look different, and it will look different for each and every one of us. And that is a good thing. But like I said, regardless of your family background and regardless of your current situation, the command is still to be obeyed. So each of us, and I'm going to, at the end, I would like to give everybody just a couple of moments. Because this commandment is for each of us to allow the Spirit of God to work in us to see how we can best obey this commandment. And it is going to look different for everybody in the room. And I would also like to remind us at the outset here as we begin that Jesus perfectly fulfilled this commandment, didn't he? He obviously lived in perfect obedience to all of the commandments, but he specifically obeyed and perfectly fulfilled the fifth commandment to honor your father and your mother. It's a little funny to think about, but Jesus was the perfect child, okay? This doesn't mean that he didn't cry, when he was a baby or whatever. He was fully human, and he perfectly obeyed his father and his mother. Perfectly obedient, and we only get a couple of glimpses of his early life before his ministry, but we do see him living in perfect obedience to his father and mother. He was perfect, and you and I are not and have not been perfect children to our parents, have we? We're not. We are not perfect. You and I have not been and will never be and have not been perfect children to our parents. We fall short in this commandment. We fall short in perfectly honoring our father and our mother, and therefore are worthy of condemnation, and we are guilty before the law for not honoring our parents. It is that serious, and we all fail, but by grace, through faith in Jesus, for me personally now, through faith in Christ, when God the Father looks at me, he does not see Alec, the disobedient son, who continually fails to honor his father and his mother. Instead, what God the Father sees by grace through faith in Jesus is the perfect son, Jesus Christ. You see, by grace through faith in him, now you can have the perfect obedience of Jesus credited to your account. Okay? Apart from nothing that you've done, simply by grace through faith, you now have the standing with God the Father as the perfect son or daughter. Okay, we did not deserve that, and I want to make that clear in the beginning that all of this ultimately is about Jesus. It points us to Christ and what he has done on our behalf. And now, I pray for all of you that you have received that truth, that you have trusted in Jesus to save you by grace through faith, and now you can be declared innocent on the day of judgment before God the Father and live for all eternity in God's presence. We have to deal with that matter first. And now, as we continue on, now we look to Jesus as our example. Right, and we will see this, that he perfectly obeyed his father and his mother. And we also see just another small glimpse in Jesus's life. If you remember at the end of his life, it's one of the seven sayings of the cross, if you've ever heard this, in John 19. One of the last things that Jesus did with his dying breath was made sure his mother was cared for. You remember that? When he looks down from the cross and he sees John the apostle, and he says, "Behold your mother," and then he speaks to his mother and says, "Mother, behold your son." And in his dying breath, Jesus honored his mother and made sure that she was cared for. And so Jesus is our substitute by grace through faith now. God sees Jesus instead of our sinful selves. And now, because of that, and in light of that, now we look to Jesus as our example, and we see that. In his early days, he was obedient to his father and mother. And then in his end days, he cared for his mother and his father. And before we kind of move on, we'll just say probably generally this is true from what I've seen and experienced, that in the beginning of your life, for our teenagers and younger folks in the room, honoring your mother and your father probably looks more like obedience and doing what they say and making sure that you know, you're honoring them by doing what they ask and that sort of thing. And generally, for the rest of us, as we get older, honoring our mother and our father probably looks more like making sure that they are cared for, right? That's kind of the general trajectory of our lives and what we see in Jesus's life as well. So, now we can really begin. We look back at the text, and you'll notice that the first word of the commandment in Exodus 20:12 is honor. Okay, honor your father and your mother. Honor. And it's interesting that this word elsewhere in the Old Testament is translated as glory. The same root is for glory or heaviness. Okay, so if we kind of take those synonyms and kind of fill it out to honor or to glorify or to, there's a proper weightiness to our being a parent then, right? If we are to honor or to glorify or to ascribe the proper weight to somebody, that's what this is getting at when we're talking about honoring our mother and our father. It's to give the proper weight in our lives that somebody deserves, to give them with our minds and our hearts to understand the weighty position that they have in our lives. And obviously, God is the only one who is completely deserving of all of our praise, all of our adoration, and all of the glory that we can give him. And he is worthy of all of the glory, all of the weight, all of the honor. But then we see within the commandments that our parents Our father and our mother are deserving of honor because of the weight of parenting and what it is. And we'll think about that a little bit more. But the idea of this sermon that I want to put forth to you is simply this, that parenting is weighty and deserves honor, so we honor our parents. That's it. Parenting is weighty. It is a weighty task and deserves honor, so we honor our parents. Again, at the outset, I realize that not all of us are parents in the room. And also, not all of us know our parents, or not all of us have a relationship with our parents, etc. That we all have different and unique situations. Statistically, probably half of us in the room come from a divorced family, or have been involved in a family, or have been through a divorce ourselves. Probably half of us in the room. And I'm just saying that again to reemphasize the fact that we are to still, that obedience to this command will look different for everybody. It will look different for everybody. And parenting, though, is weighty, isn't it? And you think about your own parents, and if you're a parent, think about yourself. Just ponder it with me for a second. God is the ultimate giver of life, isn't he? He is the one that that creates and gives life. And God, in his infinite wisdom and majesty and power, God, in his infinite wisdom, has allowed us, humans, to be the ones who bring about life. He has entrusted to us, as if you're a parent, another precious creation, and has entrusted us to care for their soul. And if we are image bearers of God, as the Bible teaches us, is there anything more weighty than to be entrusted with the care of an image bearer of God? There is nothing more weighty than that. And again, obedience to this command will look different for all of us differently in our different circumstances, but we can all understand that our parents are worthy of honor in that they have given life to us under God's design, and therefore they are worthy of honor, even if their character might not be honorable. And today, in our culture, right, it is no secret that the quote-unquote traditional family structure is under attack. I don't really love the term traditional. I'd rather say something like God's design for family. But I'm not going to delve into all the ways that that is the case. You can just look around and see that it's true. However, as Christians today, as we seek to be obedient to this commandment, we can't say something like, well, if we only lived in the 50s, whenever they really, you know, when the family was really primary, and, you know, kids respected their elders and the proper authorities, you know, back then or whatever. We can't wish for another time. We can't wish to go back to another time. What we need to do is think about how we can be obedient to the commandment in our time, in our culture, in our place right now, right? Listen to this quote and tell me when you think it was written, okay? So if you are tempted to say, well, back in the whenever time, it wasn't like this. You know, this wasn't a problem back then. Listen to this quote. Tell me when you think it was written. Quote, "The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders, and they love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, and tyrannize their teachers." When do you think that was written? Any guesses? The author of that quote was Socrates, and that was written 400 years before Christ. So, this idea of children being disobedient to their parents is not a new reality. So, I say that to say, that for us today in the room, for Christians as followers of Jesus, to be obedient to the fifth commandment, we need to figure out what that looks like for us moving forward, not to wish for another time, because 400 years before Christ, children were disobeying their parents and not respecting authority, etc. You see the point. It's always been a problem. We need to obey the commandment today. And another commentator, Peter Lighthart, that I read, I like what he says, and he says this, that we need to, in order to be obedient to this commandment today, for us Christians, we need to reconstruct the social situation it assumes. Okay, here's what he's getting at. Two-parent families as a norm, the goodness of authority, and the preservation of families through a lifelong commitment of a man and a woman. So what he's saying is this commandment, the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. What he's saying is what we need to do is to reconstruct that situation. And what the commandment is assuming is that having one father and one mother in a marriage covenant with one another that brings forth children that respect authority, that honor their parents, and then pass down the faith, that is what we need to be about, and that is the ideal that we need to put forth in our time today. Okay, so we need to take that idea and make sure that we are following it now. Instead of wishing for another time to live in, we need to obey this commandment now and live out God's intention for the family. Okay? And now, immediately, I say, I realize that probably most of us in the room, well, all of us actually, we have not perfectly lived up to this ideal. We all have different brokenness in our families, different past relationships that have not ended well, etc. We all have difficulties when it comes to our families. And they're the good news, remember what we said in the beginning, I'll point you back to Christ, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for you if you have experienced brokenness in your family. But at the same time, regardless of your situation, you can uphold these ideals as God has intended them and obey this command. We can still be all about the family in the way God designed it, even if we're not currently experiencing it or if we did not come from that ideal situation. We can still put forward, teach it, and love it as God designed. And I'm an example of this. My parents were divorced when I was 8 or so. Both of my parents have remarried, and don't get me wrong, I love all the extra love, the extra parents, and the extra grandparents that I've received from my parents being divorced and being remarried. I'm not saying God can use seemingly not ideal and difficult situations to bring about his good purposes. And all of our families in one way or another are representative of that. That God can use brokenness, difficult situations to bring about his good purposes. He can and does do that, and I am an example of that. And then also, with that being said, what we see in Scripture is that God's ideal is either singleness and devoted service to Jesus, or a one man, one woman, lifetime marriage of raising children that love and know Jesus and are devoted to his service as well. That's the ideal, the two things that we can prop up and say that's what we strive for. And it's also then important for us to note this transition that's happening in the Ten Commandments. Okay, the first four are sometimes known as our duty to God, right? Everything in the first four commandments have been about God. And now the fifth commandment is a bit of a hinge point, isn't it? And this is the first one that talks about other people outside of just ourselves and the Lord. It's a bit of a hinge point, and it talks about our relationship with other people. And the first thing, don't miss that the first relationships, the first other people that God talks about whenever he's laying out the way that he wants his people to live involves the parents. It involves families. Starts with the family. And this communicates several things to us. namely that the family is extremely important to God. He has designed the world to work in this way. No other human relationship is so fundamental, and none is more important than the relationship between parents and children. It is a weighty reality. And also, behind the fundamental nature of the relationship with our parents is the passing down of the faith, right? This again highlights and re-emphasizes the importance that parents have and the weight that they bear on our lives. You see, the normal way for the people of God then and for the people of God, us now, to pass down the faith is from parents to children. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. Right, the normal way that we make disciples is from parents to children. That's the way that we are to pass down the faith, and this is a good thing, right? Many families today, you know, want to allow their children to figure it out. You know, they can go their own way and work it out themselves or whatever. For Christians, we are to teach our children the faith. We are to teach them about the things of God and what he's done for us in Christ. You know, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 is a good, you know, we would supply it a little bit with more Christ-centered language, but this reality is still true for us today when it comes to our families. Yeah, you can see it on the screen. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Here we go. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I'm sure you've heard this passage before, but this is getting at this reality and is filling out a little bit more the importance of parents in teaching their children the faith. And the same is true for us as we teach our children about what Jesus has done. It still applies to us. And listen, if your children are grown and gone, I think most of us will still agree with this, that you are still teaching your children about God even when they might not be living in your house. You know, and we have lived out the reality that we went and returned to our parents' house just recently, and we lived with Emily Claire's parents for a little bit. And listen, even though we have children of our own and we're older, they still are teaching us things about God. So it is not as if, parents, we graduate from teaching our children about the things of God and how to obey him and honor him when they turn 18. This is a lifelong process. And you can even, if you have grandkids, you can even teach your grandkids about the things of God as well. You see, this is the way that God has designed the family to work and designed the passing down of our faith through the family. The family is vitally important for passing down the faith. Now, we can't miss the connection to today because something vitally important happened when we get to the New Testament, okay? So God has established the importance of the family, and it's the way that the faith is passed down primarily, and that is still true today, but something happens in the New Testament. Jesus comes, and he says something, and he begins doing some things that are pretty radical for the time. You know, one time his actual mother and brothers come up, and his disciples say, hey, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father are my mother and my brothers. And then, fast forward a little bit later, we have the apostles that are writing these letters to churches, and they're addressed to brothers and sisters. And then Paul in Titus 2 talks about how we are to treat the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters in all purity, and the older men as fathers and the younger men as brothers. And now all of a sudden, what's happened is the church, the local church, has become a family. And Now something unique is happening, and we don't have time to get into it, but this was back then was what's called a group culture. And so your primary identity came from the group that you were a part of. So to create a new family was something absolutely countercultural and was really shaking the foundation of the culture at that time. For somebody to call somebody who wasn't in their family their brother or sister was absolutely radical. And we need to continue to bring that to today. So what I'm saying is now, even if you don't have kids, even if you are, you've come from a difficult, broken family situation, or the family that you are in right now has experienced tremendous brokenness, you can still experience the love of a family, Lord willing, within the confines of the local church. Because God has designed us to be a family. We are to be brothers and sisters. And now as brothers and sisters in the faith, we now have a spiritual responsibility for one another. And specifically, we have it to our kids. And here's real practically. I want Knox, our son, to have dozens of spiritual mothers and fathers that he can honor. And those people are you. Sitting out here right now, I want my son to have dozens of spiritual mothers and fathers that he can look to that are teaching him the faith and that he can honor in addition to Emily Claire and I. So you see, there's even more to be found here within the local church whenever it comes to passing down the faith. So even if your parents aren't Christians or whatever your situation is, you can find mothers and fathers in the faith here in the context of the local church. And that's my story, by the way. I didn't grow up going to church. My parents, kind of working through Christianity. They're probably watching. Hey, guys. But the truth is this. I found a spiritual family in my local church in Ulaga, America, in whatever, 15 years ago, whenever that was. I had multiple mothers and fathers in the faith who taught me the faith. And that's what this is for. That's what the local church is for. And I will say this as well. For our elder folks in the room, look for spiritual sons and daughters in the faith as well. Even if you don't have maybe physical children that are here, obviously you still have a responsibility for him, but look for spiritual daughters and sons in the faith that are younger than you that you can teach the faith to, okay? We'll leave that there. Think about now the context in which the people of Israel would have been hearing these words, okay? We're gonna look at the second half of the verse then in this promise. Think about the context in which the people of Israel were first hearing these words. They had just been rescued out of slavery, right? You remember that this is in the book of Exodus. They have just gone through the Exodus. God has rescued them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and he is leading them to this land that he has promised them, right? They're still in the midst of it, and they're just receiving these words. God is giving them a home. He's giving them a land after they've been in slavery for hundreds of years. And think about this. They get to enjoy the fruits and the joys of having a place to call home if they, how would you fill in that blank? Think about this. If a promise was being made to you today, something like this, how would you fill in the blank? Like if I brought the promise to today, and I'm talking about the second half of the verse, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. If I brought this promise to today and said something like this, to live a long, enjoyable life and experience blessings from God, you must fill in the blank. What would come to mind if I put that forward to you? I would probably say something like, worship God with my whole life, or something like that. And that would be true. But within this context, the promise that God is making, you can have, he is saying, you can enjoy a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you if you honor your father and your mother. Doesn't that seem like, oh my gosh, that's what I need to do to enjoy longevity and blessings from God is to love my parents. That's what it takes. This is, again, getting at the heaviness and the weightiness of the family and parenting and the importance that it has. God is connecting our longevity to our honoring of our parents. Alec Motier, one of my favorite commentators, not just because he has a cool name, he says this, quote, "The life ordered according to God's priorities will receive his blessing. The honoring of parents is the key to social stability and security of tenure in the land. When we step out of the arena of duty to God, we step into the arena of duty within the family, our foremost area of obligation in the world." He's just saying that when we order our priorities in the way that God desires us to, according to the commandments, we will experience blessings from God. Not health, wealth, and prosperity necessarily, but a truly contented life with Christ, now an eternal life to come. And the priorities that we are to order our lives, if we think about the Ten Commandments, what we've learned so far is this. We need to worship God alone in the way he wants to be worshiped. We need to live all of our life as if God is the most important reality. And then we need to devote time specifically to worshiping and honoring him. And then we need to honor our parents. So you see, the way the priorities work. First, it's all about God, making sure that we are loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. And then the first next priority that comes is the family, our mother and our father, honoring our parents. And the promise for us today is not land necessarily, but if you prioritize your life in this way, you will generally experience blessings from God. Kevin DeYoung said it this way, quote, "This promise is a recognition of the way the world works. It's a recognition of the way the world works, the way in which God has designed things. It's not a mathematical formula, but you will generally be much better off after learning to honor your parents." It's a general truth and a general promise. For the teenagers and kiddos in the room, I'm gonna break something to you. Life will probably go a little better for you if you obey your parents. I know that was groundbreaking stuff, but generally, won't you experience more happiness, joy, contentment from God, his blessings, if you obey and honor your parents? Generally speaking, that is true, right? It's when our kiddos disobey that things do not go well with them. You know, it brings in discipline, et cetera. We won't go down that road. But that is a reality that as kids, you know, if you're still in a position where you're with your parents, things will generally go better with you, and you will experience more happiness if you obey your kids. For some of us, now I'm going to step on my own toes, some of us who are not around our parents, I probably need to call my mom more, you know, just real practically, to honor my parents in that way, to continue that relationship, to continue to seek to grow it, right? These are just practical things. They're simple, yet very weighty matters, very weighty. And it is for each of us to figure out and determine how we can best obey this commandment. So as we conclude, we'll wrap up, that there were people of all ages who would have heard these words as they were being read by Moses from God. There would have been people from all different family situations, all different, kind of realities and all different ages and life stages would have heard these words in the same way that there are many of us, all different ages, life stages, and backgrounds, and family situations, and current situations, that we need to figure out how we can best obey this command. The people of God have always had to discern how they could best obey the fifth commandment here. We see throughout the rest of the Old Testament how important this commandment was. Leviticus 20, verse 9 tells us that anyone who curses mother and father was to be put to death. In the New Testament, disobedience to parents was a sign that we're living in the terrible times of the last days. And it is for us today important that we work out how we can obey the fifth word. And remember, as we remember, Jesus obeyed this commandment perfectly on our behalf if we trust in him to save. Then we seek to follow his example and obey. Reichen had a few good reflective questions that were good for self-examination. Here are some to get us thinking about how we might obey this commandment for us today. Do you ever silently curse your parents? Do you speak well of your parents? Are you taking the time to strengthen your relationship with them? Are you giving them the care they need and the honor they deserve for their position in your life? Because here's the truth. When we are to honor our father and our mother, we are honoring more so the position over the personality. Because we're called to honor even when they might not be honorable in our, in our minds. So again, it is for each of us to work out how we can best obey this command. Maybe you need to restore your relationship with your parents. Maybe there's some past sin or some past hurt that is holding you back from truly honoring them. And again, this is touchy and difficult, and it is for each of us individually to work out with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to obey. But through what Jesus has done and by the power of the Spirit, we can obey. And many of us in the room have lost our parents already, and we can still honor them by how we speak of them and how we regard them in our lives. You know, and if there was bitterness or hurt there, we can't bring them back to mend the relationship, but we can hold them in a place of honor in our hearts and release the hurt and the bitterness to God. And many of us have parents that are alive but have bitterness and brokenness in the relationship. Maybe honoring them looks like seeking to restore the relationship, taking whatever the next step is to restore and to mend. And on the flip side, maybe as parents in the room, maybe we have children that we have broken or hurt relationships with, and maybe we as parents need to take the first step in mending that relationship so that it can be an honoring relationship. It can go both ways. So now as we close, I'd like to just give each of you individually a moment to pray and to ask God to show you how you can obey this commandment. Again, it is going to look different for each of us and all of us, depending on our age and our life stage, our situation, our background, our current situation, etc. But in light of what Christ has done, as we seek to follow him and obey his example, we are still to obey this commandment. So now, you know, Charlie's going to play. I'll just give everybody a minute or two. If you would, just where you are, kind of create your own little space, and I'd ask you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you maybe a way that you can obey the fifth commandment today. Would you just take a moment on your own?